Hello, welcome to the Reflective Meditation Podcast. We're so glad you're here. In each episode, we offer a short Dharma talk that discusses the Dharma and how it may appear in our daily lives. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. After the talk, you're invited to meditate for 15 minutes or as long as you please. And then, if you wish, we also invite you to journal about anything that came up for you in your meditation.
We've just finished a week of talking about generosity, pledging our time and energy and resources and finances to keep this daily online going, and have a deep respect for each of the teachers that have shared during this week. I was so aware of how they have changed and developed from this daily online practice, because we've been teaching together for years, and just the words that came out of their mouth, the creativity, the preparing Dharma talks to share with you all. Bill talked about imagination and intention, and then something kind of mysterious on Thursday because it wasn't recorded. So I don't know, something else very interesting. Ellen talked about Buddhist economics and talked about finances and resources in the way of Buddhist practices and principles. And Janet talked about the gifts of the Dharma. I'm wearing one of them, a shawl I got for free. and then Susan gave a Dharma prompt yesterday on the topic. And again, wasn't recorded. So something kind of mysterious and wonderful around generosity. So if you didn't hear the talks from the week, they'll be posted on our podcast in a few days, maybe a week. And I would really recommend going back and listening to them, because some very creative ideas came out of the topic, things that I hadn't heard before. And it left me with a taste of something that I couldn't quite name. And I was reading the other day and came across a phrase coined by Barbara Brown Taylor. She calls herself a spiritual contrarian. And she talked about the hunger for holiness. And I thought, oh, that kind of names what I'm feeling this morning and this week after listening to a week of Dharma talks about generosity. And I'm hungry for some of my inherited Dharma, some of the things I heard when I was being trained to teach. And it really reminds me how much we merge our current everyday Dharma talks of the situations of our lives with how it was talked about in the past. And I'm still a seeker, though a different kind of seeker than I was in my youth. And looking to holiness as a kind of blend of mystery and synchronicity and wonder. So I'm going to choose to read some words from Ajahn Chah today. He's a Thai Buddhist monk. He's respected and loved in his own country as a man of great wisdom. And he was also instrumental in setting up the Theravada Buddhism in the West. So I find it interesting that I'm choosing his words this morning. And that in history, it really has been the monastic and lay community that the monastics were considered special, and their words were considered special. And some of them are. But it's not that his words are holier than ours. So I really was asking myself, what is it that I'm seeking to go back to this? And I came to, I'm seeking words from a different time and space, and energy and culture that match what I know from the reflective meditation practice. And to me, that finding and matching words, words that, you know, that are from completely different culture that I might not know or have heard of before, but how they match what I know from practice. And that's a kind of holy discovery and exploration. There's a sense to that of wonder. So I'll start with a paragraph from a letter that he wrote. One evening under his Kuti at an informal meeting, Ajahn Chah said, "When you expound the Dharma, there must be no force involved. It must happen on its own as a spontaneous flow from the present moment and circumstance." You know, it's funny, but sometimes people come to me and really show no apparent wish to hear the Dharma. And there it is. It just happens. Out of it, it comes with no effort whatsoever. Then there are other times people seem quite eager to listen. They even formally ask for a discourse and nothing. It just won't happen. I can't say anything. What can you do? I don't know what it is, but I know it happens this way. It's like people have levels of receptive ability, and when you're there at the same level, it just happens. So I was thinking, is it, you know, effort a kind of force, what he's talking about here? You know, don't force talking about the Dharma. And I think it's really apparent in our talks at the Daily Online that we put an effort in a kind of relaxed way, that we're not really trying to give a perfect talk. We're not creating for the effort to create, you know, for the sake of creating. We don't try to polish the talks so that they're, you know, podcast ready, even though we have a podcast and you may be listening to this right now on a podcast. We just don't try to make it stressful. We try to talk about the Dharma in a natural way, in a spontaneous way. And that really is the word of the day for me right here. And, you know, it's a great reminder for me, for us, when I put together a Dharma talk, that just to kind of see what's there and talk about that. So his next quote, "I believe without a doubt about the Buddha's ability to know other beings' temperament and receptive ability." He used the very same method of spontaneous teaching. It's not that the Buddha possessed any special human power, superhuman power, but rather that he was sensitive to the needs of the people around him, and so he taught them accordingly. To show you how spontaneous he was, once after he expounded the Dharma to a group of his disciples, he asked them if they had ever heard this teaching before, and they replied they hadn't. He went on to say that he himself had never heard it either. So that's fun. Sometimes you don't even know the Dharma until you've spoken, until something that you've said that you go, oh, that really works for this situation. It's really a skillful response. And that the Buddha developed this sensitivity to the needs of people around him. We talk about needs a lot in reflective meditation practice. He was paying attention. Give a very small example. It is not on the same weight, but when I went to the gym yesterday morning, there is a woman, that young woman, who's the receptionist and kind of checks you in. And I looked at her and she just looked different. And before I even knew what I said, I was like, oh, you got your hair cut. It looks beautiful. And she just lit up. She said, "No one has noticed. You're the first person that said something." And I could just see the kind of confidence and good feeling she got from that small comment. But I got the good feeling from it too. It was like a holy exchange. And it really mattered to me that somebody in my world, that I saw them and that they were able to respond. It's an example of what I think the Buddha's talking about there. Or Ajahn Chah, not the Buddha. Yeah, the monk. So I'll end with this. He says, Ajahn Chah again, "Just continue your practice, no matter what you're doing. Practice is not depending on any one posture, such as sitting or walking. Rather, it is a continuous awareness of the flow of your consciousness and feelings. No matter what is happening, just compose yourself and be ever mindful, aware of that flow." Ever mindful. So this could easily be interpreted as the same awareness every single moment of your life. That won't happen. You'll lose attention, you'll gain it back, you'll remember, you'll forget, but please continue. I think that's really what he's trying to talk about, is continue practicing, hopefully with your, you know, here with us daily on your own with others, and that how you feel about your practice is really going to help you continue to practice. And I hope that you get something uplifting like I did from the last weeks of talks about generosity from our teachers. And again, with mucho appreciation to everybody that's here this morning and all the effort that's gone into keeping us going daily. Thank you.
We now invite you to meditate in a position that's comfortable for you for 15 minutes. This can be longer or shorter. There are no hard and fast rules. After your meditation, try journaling about your experience. Was there anything in your meditation that made you curious? If you'd like to join us daily, we meet daily online between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. US Pacific Time. The link to join us can be found at reflectivemeditation.org/daily online. And if you'd like to support our work, please head to reflectivemeditation.org/daily online to offer a donation. Any donor would be gratefully received. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.